When the world's gone to shit and the dead walk among the living, the only thing left that matters is family.
Hi, hello, everybody. My name is Turk. Welcome back to the Grouch Couch. Welcome back to episode 6 of Family Survives Together. As promised, the first episode of our series is almost still 100 likes. And as I promised, if that were to happen, we are going to do episodes 6 through 10. It's very exciting stuff, but that means we have another goal. If this episode here gets to at least 50, we'll do 11 through 15. So please make sure to leave a like if you want to see more episodes of the series right here on the channel. Obviously, it's been a little bit. Hair's blue now. Office is different. If you've been following along this far, first of all, thank you so much. I want to remind you that if you want to pick anything up for your own solo series, you can use our DriveThruRPG link down in the description. And if you have anything that you want to add to our story, please do leave them in the comments, and I will do my best to include them into the story. Speaking of that, we have a couple of comments of things I would like to include. If you remember the last episode, we were talking about what were the names that were going to go on the headstone. Robert actually got it in first as rest in peace to Gregory and Melissa Owens. I have no idea what that's a reference to, so just seems like some real good classic names, you know? Nailzike Gaming says that they should sleep on the second floor and block the main entrance by taking apart pews to barricade it. They can use a ladder, which zombies can't use, to go in and out of the building from the bell tower, which can be connected to their sleeping quarters. Only issue would be Poochie and maybe Aiden. The door needs to get shut, though. That's a huge risk. Yes, it is. It's a very huge risk that they just have broken doors. So that's going to be one of the first things we're going to start working on here today. Significant religious texts have been torn up or burned. Yes, Milk Mafia, for sure. There's a bunch of those all over the place. And potentially radio stations that are active. Well, hopefully, we're going to roll some dice on that and we're going to see how that goes. And so here we are. We're back in our zombie apocalypse world. Our background today is featuring Aiden and Torka for reasons I think we're going to get into. I did officially make Aiden Ryder's character sheet. So Aiden has the archetype of the kid, which means one of his talents is that he's a child of this world, so he doesn't take stress whenever he sees someone get bitten. And also his mobility and his stealth are his main traits. So he's small and fast. And he starts with a baseball bat and a pack of gum. I'm flavor texting the gum to be the candy that Jay gave to him whenever we first got him back. And I have also finally, someone told me, it wasn't in a comment, but someone was like, why aren't you putting the experience in their character sheets? So we're finally putting their experience in the character sheets. Maybe at the end of today's episode or the beginning of next episode, we're actually going to apply some experience and do some leveling up. All right. People treat him like a child, which is an issue. He doesn't like to be treated like a child. He's afraid of the dark, and his drive is that kids will grow up to rule this world, which he's not wrong. He's not wrong at all. We have filled out the old church's stats. So our issues are the busted front doors and the fact that we have no running water. There is a river nearby, as we did establish when we were adventuring around this area. But I did put all of our current player characters in there. With our capacity of 1, we could have up to 10 survivors comfortably. We have the kid, the scientist, the outcast, the nobody, which are our characters. And our projects are the repair the radio transmitter, which is actually the thing that Cece wants to do. She wants to make a radio tower. That's why she was at the carnival. That's why she wanted the parts for the radio tower. It's one of the first things I'm sure she's going to want to work on. But secondly, we're going to call it a project. We're going to call it defense barriers. And the defense barriers is going to be +2 defense, but it's going to be using the pews, just like the comment said, to reinforce the doors. And after we get all that done, we're going to be using ladders to go in and out of the bell tower, because that's just a fantastic idea. And I think it's the best way to utilize the church and kind of what we have. So we need tools and we need equipment. The good thing is that I know right off the bat here, we're going over some rules and stuff. All right, we're going to get into the story soon. Okay, I promise. Jesse actually has a talent called Handy. With a little time and some tools, he can repair pretty much anything, even if he doesn't have the right parts. He also gets a +2 to tech when he repairs things as a project. Guess what? We're talking about projects here, but there is an issue. As we last left off, our guy, Jesse, has a fractured arm. He's going to be spending this first day here. So it's up fracture in the book. It only takes a couple hours to recover. But this first day, he's going to be, in my mind, he needs to actually rest So I've had some time to think, and let's recap a little bit. We've made it to this church, which it needs a name, by the way. Right now on the character sheet, I just called it The Old Church, but we need a name. So the first comment I'm asking from for you guys is a name for our haven, all right? Like sanctuary or something like that. But we made it to the old church. We have buried these bodies, which was Melissa Owens and her husband. Jesse broke his arm trying to kill the zombies. We spent a little bit of time cleaning this place out, getting ourselves comfortable here, figuring out what's on the inside, what is what. I think by this time, Cece has found the microphones and other kinds of equipment that was in the back room that Torka just completely ignored. So it took her a little while to find it, but she did eventually find it. Gotten rid of a lot of the old religious text, and we're probably using it as fuel to burn fires and stuff. So it's been a couple of days, and not only is Jesse's car got scratches all down the side of it, I know that he wants to fix it. Also, his arm is broken. And I know for a fact that Cece is going to want to set up this radio immediately, even if other people are arguing with her, like, we need to fix the door, we need to do this thing, we need to do that thing. She's going to be staying here, and she's going to be working on this radio tower. It's literally her goal. It's the thing she wants to do since the beginning. So where does that leave us? That leaves us with Torka and Aiden. We need food. We need equipment. We need weapons. We need tools. So we don't have a lot to even take with us weapon-wise as it stands. I mean, we need to get armor and weapons and things, especially if we're going to be able to delve deep into that mall that's nearby, or even go into that Air Force base that's across the river that we talked about, I think, in episode 3 or 4. But that leaves us with Torka and Aiden. And I believe after some convincing, Torka was able to convince Jay that, like, let me and your little brother go together. We're going to go scavenge for some food. We aren't going to go far. You can't go. Cece's caught up. We're going to cut to them now, after they've prepared themselves to go out on a run. Torka and Aiden are hanging out with Jay, who's in a back room, laying down. There's no beds. He's just on the ground with, like, some old sweaters as a pillow. And he's got his arm up in a sling. And Jay looks at Aiden. And he's like, all right, little brother. I'm trusting you. I know you said that you've seen all this stuff, you know. You've been up in the treehouse. You've seen all these zombies go down. You know what's going on. But you're still a young man. You haven't seen as much, like, combat. You know, I need you to stay close with Torka. Torka. And he looks at him, and Torka's like, yeah, man, what's up? If anything happens to my little brother, it'll be your head. And Torka's like, of course, man. Look, we're not going to go far, right? Down south. We're going to head. We're not going to go to the mall, all right? I know we're not prepared for that yet. We may scope it out, but we're not going to go there. We're going to come right back. Jay's like, all right. He turns to his little brother and he's like, I love you. It's your first run. Good luck. And Aiden's like, I can't believe I'm going out without you for my first run. He's like, I know. So you be good. He's like, I will. That's where things are going to start. And so we're not taking vehicles. We're going to go for a walk, just these two, to stay the most quiet. They're going to be sneaking through, I imagine, down south. Like, there's like a road. We came off the road to the church. And I imagine through the parking lot down south, there's like a bunch of trees, you know, lined up that lead out to like a freeway or something on the other side. We're going to roll to see what that is. But they're going to go on foot. And as they step outside, Torque is going to, I'm just going to pull these up here so we know who's with us. Torkin's going to turn to Aiden, and he's going to be like, all right, man, we can do this. Just me and you. Of course. They're going to start heading down south through the forest. And both of these two are just going to roll a simple stealth check just to get us started, because they're going to be sneaking through the grass and they don't want to startle anything or get anything, you know, make any noises to get anything pulled towards the old church. We still need a name for that. So we're going to do this here. We don't have any more stress dice. We're all cleared up. And just one success. That's all we need. Just a one. That's two successes. Torque is doing pretty good. All right, your first roll ever, Aiden. You have 8 dice in stealth. This is your skill. That's one success. beautiful. So both of these guys are sneaking real good and quiet through the forest. And I want to see, as they're sneaking through, is there any kind of scene alteration happening? All right. So there was a scene alteration, an interruption event. It's PC positive, oppose inside. Oppose inside. What PC are we talking about here? Is it Torka or is it Aiden? We'll do odds for Torka and evens for Aiden. It's odds. So this is positive for Torka. Torka sees something that's oppose inside. Maybe immediately we're sneaking past an old house that's on the other side of the parking lot of the church. We go like into a backyard. That's where all the trees were there. And then we're sneaking past an old house and Torka's looking through the window. Maybe Torka sees something in the window as they're sneaking through there. As Torka and Aiden run across the backyard, then they begin creeping past the side of this crumbling vine-covered house. And, you know, the air is thick with tension as they get to this point. They're like crawling real quiet. And Aiden grips his baseball bat tightly. He's scared. He hasn't been out alone before. His breath shallow as they stick close to the wall. And I think Torque is going to like motion for Aiden. You know, he's like, follow him past a broken window, you know, and then they hustle under. And as they do, I think both of them hear a rustling inside. And so Torka halts. He readies up his spear. And then as he looks into the window, he spots the source. I think there's a walker stumbling inside the house. And as they poke up their heads, the walker sees them. But then without warning, the walker takes one step forward and the weakened floorboard beneath it just gives way. And the walker crashes through, impaling itself on the jagged debris below. And I think Torka exchanges a wide-eyed look with Aiden. He's like, hey man, I guess the house is on our side. And Aiden just gives him a nervous smile. This house on the other side of the church, rotted and crumbling, inadvertently, I mean, it opposes the danger that was inside of the house. And it neutralizes the threat without these two even having to lift a finger, which is a PC positive. So, relieved, I think Torka and Aiden slip past the window and go around to search for a door. This is the first house on the outskirts of the church that we're searching. And if there was a walker in there, that walker could have been the person that was living there who died there, which means maybe it hasn't been searched yet. We are in the early stages of the apocalypse, so they're going to go around to the front door. Now, if there was a walker in there, was this door unlocked? 50-50. Is the door unlocked? Just to make it easy for them. Exceptional, yes. That means that the door is open. Wide open. So that's how the walker got in there. Which means I don't know if there's anything on the inside here. So they're going to step inside and we're going to pull up some roll charts. Some room flavor. We're going to roll on that. We're going to roll on scavenging. So, first, there are bushes growing indoors. They're getting sun and water from a crack in the roof. So there's holes in the roof as they step inside. Draws a revolt from the scavenging table. Binoculars. Oh, that's actually fun. So like right on the window, Aiden like grabs the binoculars and like looks through them right at Torka's like face. And they like giggle for a second. And I'm going to add these to his character sheet because that's very fun. Binoculars are also helpful. Right off the bat, binoculars are good. But now both of these guys, we're going to roll survival checks just to see if they can find anything else in this house. And then we'll roll to see what it was. So we're going to do survival for Torka. You got zero successes. We could push, but at this point, we really don't need to. So he's just looking around. He doesn't see much. What about Aiden?
also doesn't see much. So we found some binoculars in the house. And Torque is like, all right, man, that's it. Time to keep going. And Aiden's like, all right, I want to see if these are actually useful for seeing things at a distance. So they might help with, like, scouting checks. Yeah, we like that. We like that a lot. Okay, so across the street from this house, there's a reason why we came this way. Ruins is what we're going to roll on. We're going to roll on the ruins chart to see what we get. Okay, so whatever's on the other side, we don't know, but an overturned school bus is in the middle of the road. Is there any walkers around right now? Rollable tables, let's roll a random threat level just to see. One. All right, I found it. So threat level one, which is what we rolled, which means there are walkers around, but they haven't noticed us. We might suffer a single walker attack if we mess up a skill check. Okay, I was just doing some re-rolling, just double checking that, you know, we're doing the threat level right. And I was going through rereading everything and everything. It looks like all is well. If I need to change the rules or whatever, I will in the future. But right now, that seems right. We're in a cleared and safe area for now, which is really lucky. It is very, very lucky. And which means there is an old broken down school bus up ahead here. I think Aiden looks at Torka and Aiden's probably like, school? I used to go to school. And Torka's like, oh yeah, man. You want to go check it out? Let's go over there. And he's like, yeah, let's go. And they like hustle across the street and they get to the school bus and everything still looks clear. And Aiden's going to step like in through the window as like Torka's like holding his hand. And they're going to step into this old torn over school bus. Do they find anything in this school bus? And I'm actually going to use Luck Oracle. Very cool. Draws a result from the Luck Oracle table. Extreme yes. Okay. That's very cool. Extreme yeses mean we get to roll twice on the scavenging table. I'm going to put that down there for easier use later. Extreme yes. Okay. Roll scavenging.
What?
In this school bus, there is a sword and a crossbow. Aiden probably like runs to the back of the bus and finds him back there. I mean, if there's a sword and a crossbow, then that means there has to be like something else. Like, actually, what if this was like a school bus people were living in? And it was driving down the street as they were like trying to get out of town. It's like people who were living in the school bus. So there's like other stuff in here. It's like a, you know, there's like blankets and like other kinds of stuff. Like people were living in it and driving around the city in it. And it got overturned. And now it's been ransacked and the windows are broken and everything's messed up. So what was left behind that seems useful of these two just looking through stuff was a sword and a crossbow. And a crossbow is so good. And Torka probably turns to Aiden and he's like, right on, man. Let's both take one, man. Which one do you want? And I think Aiden is going to take one look at that crossbow and he's going to be like, yes. Because if we remember, he had like a little fake toy bow that he used to play with all the time and he pretended to shoot his brother with it in whatever it was, that fourth episode. And so Aiden is like all over this crossbow and we're going to add it to his character sheet right now. That is awesome. So now they step out of the school bus and if we remember, this school bus was just in the way of where we were trying to get to, right? So what is on the other side here? Factory. Dead workers everywhere. Spray painted arrows lead into the manager who has barricaded himself in his office. He will hide the fact that he's already bitten. Okay, well, I don't know if I'm keeping any of that, but we are going to do a factory with dead workers everywhere. And so we're actually going to have Aiden use his binoculars and we're going to stand at the bus and he's going to scout this whole thing out. And I'm actually going to give him one bonus die because he has the binoculars. Seems fair. All right, so that's two successes. So what kind of threat level does he see happening over here at this factory? Is it even worth going in there?
Okay. Well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to roll a 1d6 to determine how many walkers are in front of this factory, in front of us. That's what we're going to do. After researching, because threat level really doesn't work for us in this situation.
That's a one. That's the best case scenario, which means there's 5 through 10.
All right, so there's 5 or 10.
That's wonderful news. We're standing out by this bus, and Aiden looks back at Torga, and he's like,
all right, man, there's only like 5 or 10 that I can see on the outside of this factory. Is it worth it going in there?
And Torga's like, whoa, what even kind of factory is it, man? And we're going to have to roll some discovery meaning tables to figure that out. All right, let's roll over here. Relative building size. It is normal size. This is the roll chart that The Walking Dead actually provides us. I'm going to try to use a little bit more of those here. Okay, well, let's try to use this oracle. We're going to roll a d6. Yeah. And then we're going to roll 2d6. So column 6, we got a 44. Spirituality. For a factory? What are they making? Spirituality. Factory that makes something to do with spirituality. What? Okay, well, we got spirituality. So it kind of makes sense. We're right nearby a church, right? So maybe this factory made stained glass windows, religious statues, ceremonial items, you know, maybe it actually made like doors and things for churches, which is kind of relevant for us. What supplies could we get from in there? Tools, scrap metal, stained glass, obviously, some crucifixes they could make for weapons. And even though they are factory workers, then, you know, they're all... There's a lot of spiritual stuff going on so far in this here campaign, and I didn't do any of it on purpose. So they're going to sneak across the street, and they're going to see if they can get inside. And they're just going to see what they might be able to find in here. So what they're going to do. So we're going to do some stealth checks. We know there's only 5 to 10 walkers out front. That's not bad. I mean, it's a lot, but it's not the worst thing. So we're going to do stealth just to get up to the gate. One success for Torka. 3 successes for Aiden. My boy is invisible. I think we're back to yes or no questions. As we sneak up to the gate here, obviously the 10 walkers are trapped inside. So do we see a way to squeeze in through the gate someplace? I'm going to call it unlikely. We'll do unsure. 50-50. Yes, we do. Sick. So we see like a little gap in the gate that both of us could squeeze through. And as we get over there, I'm assuming we see the door into this factory. It's probably up like one of those like concrete, you know, walkways that are like slanted. Are all the walkers close to this thing? Exceptional, yes. All of them are right in front of it. So this is a factory. Is there like a ladder that'll get us around a different way? Because if they're all right next to it, all 5 to 10 of them, then that means we are not going in that door. So is there like a ladder up to the second floor? This is the factory. No. Okay. So then that means we have to get them away. We need to distract them. Get them to go some other way. I think it's probably like some barrels or something off to the side. And we could totally like chuck a rock over at these barrels. And honestly, I think Aiden's just going to do it. Like before Torka even has a chance to respond, he just picks up this rock and just like throws it at all these barrels. And he hits with a 3. So do all the zombies get distracted? Nearly certain by this loud bang. Yes. Okay. That's good. Also it was a 77, but it was under the chaos. Okay. So we're fine. All right, so then these two go through the gate, across this little concreted area, and up to the door. Is the door unlocked? Yes, cool. They're going to squeak it open, and then on the inside, I'm picturing a bunch of machinery that's now quiet, just sitting still, covered
in dust and like grime. And there are like remnants of old spiritual art that are just like scattered throughout, like half finished, you know what I mean? Pieces of like paintings of Jesus and Buddha and all kinds of stuff like that. I'm assuming they did more than just, you know, Catholic kind of stuff. And there's probably like shattered windows and statues all over the floor. And obviously their windows are probably cool because they make the windows. So there's probably light flickering through fractured panes of colored glass coming down into this place. And you can see the dust in the air. All right, so is there any undead people here on the inside? Or as we step in, it's a better question. Do we hear anything moving or walking around? Because it could be an alive person. Do we hear anybody? No. Okay. So that means no walkers. Or at least, if there is someone here, they're quiet. These guys are going to begin searching around. They didn't hear anything, which means it's pretty safe. Yeah, I mean, it feels weird to just say, cool, now search. But I guess that's it. This is kind of like gone off without a hitch the whole time. I guess it's really good for Aiden's first outing. But anyways, okay. Do they search? Yes. Okay. So on a yes, we get to roll once on the scavenging table. A diary written in Spanish by a girl named Leticia who really craves Pinocha. So Aiden finds a diary written in Spanish. Huh. I want to remember that he has that, because if we run into someone like named that, why is there just a diary here? So like they're in a back room. Was there someone living here? Exceptional yes. Okay. Someone was living here, and we could only assume it was Leticia. So, I want to make a scout roll to see if we can find any signs of her, to see if she's still here. Maybe she's hiding. Nope. Aiden's got nothing. What about Torka? Nope. Okay. Well, out loud then, I think Torka's going to see this journal. Aiden's going to be like, hey, look at this. And Torka's going to be like, whoa, man. Who the heck is Leticia, man? And Torka's going to see the surrounding area. And even though he can't see the girl, she's hiding really well. He's going to be like, hey, man, we're friendly, man. We just came here just looking for any kind of supplies, man. You know, like we're cool. If you want to come out, we're staying at the church. Even if you don't want to come out now, man, that's where we're at. And, you know, I know how to make Pinocha. I'm going to call it unlikely, very unlikely. Does she respond or come out or say anything? Yes, that's a 31 on a very unlikely. So let's do element meaning characters so we can figure out what she looks like as she comes out. Let's just start rolling these to see what happens. Expert mundane. So she's an expert at something. Expert at friggin' hiding, apparently. What is her background? Heal humiliation. She's been humiliated. Personality? Emotion abstinent. Oh, that's cool. So she's like still-faced. Appearance. Rustic and mature. Okay, our descriptors. So coming out of a closet in like a back room that we're standing in, where she was living, where we found the journal, comes this teenager. I'm going to say like 16 or so. Leticia. So she has a rustic but mature look. So she's wearing weathered clothes. Maybe they're handmade, like a cloak, like stitched like from old fabric scraps. She's got dirt under her fingernails from living in this rough factory. Then her eyes are sharp, yet tired, you know? Her hair is probably tied back. I imagine she's got like a black ponytail streaked with dust and soot from the factory. Her name is Leticia, and I just feel like she's Mexican looking. But when she comes out, her demeanor is like, she's emotionally obstinate, so she's guarded, silent, dismissive. So she's gonna... She comes out of the closet, and then right out of Torka's hands, I feel like she just grabs her journal without saying anything. Like, she's, like, mad. She just walks out, like, Tuffy, and she just grabs her journal. And Torka's like, Whoa, hey, man. Look, all's cool, man. And Aiden looks at her and realizes, because, I mean, what, how old was Aiden? 9 or 10? Something like that. And she's kind of close to his age. And he's like, hi, I'm Aiden. And I'm not going to pretend to do a Mexican accent, but I'll just do a female accent. And it's a female voice, I mean. And she's just going to be like, I'm Lucretia. No, I do it like that because I imagine her like Raven from Teen Titans, you know, kind of like dark and like, ugh. And she's just like, I'm Lucretia. And Torka probably gets down on his knee and he's like, so what are you doing here, man? And I feel like she's a young teenager, which means that at one point she had parents. So is she waiting for her parents or something like that? Because if, I don't know, I'm gonna call it a 50-50 before I get into it. Yes. Okay. Because if she is waiting for her parents, there was a couple few cool comments of NPCs, and one of them, who she's searching for or who she's trying to find. I don't see any that make sense in my head, but Robert's NPC idea I forgot about is very good. We're going to have to get that in there somewhere. So anyways, we need more NPC ideas. If you guys have any ideas, anybody that could be connected to NPCs and stuff, do let me know. So I think for now, instead of asking her questions about her personal life, because we could figure that out later. Torque is just going to say, like, do you want to come stay with us? We have room. And straight up, what is she going to say? Exceptional no. She goes, no. Fine here. And Torque is going to go, okay. Well, we're located up at the church, like I said. So if you need anything, you can come and you can find us there. And also, if we remember on her roles here, I got character background for heal and humiliation. And I was kind of thinking, as the two guys look around this room a little bit more, they actually notice that this room has kind of been adapted into like maybe like a clinic a little bit. Like there's like some salvage tools and some herbs that she's growing in pots underneath like broken skylights and stuff. And they're like bloodstained rags and handwritten labels all over the place. And I think Torque is going to be like, are you like a healer, man? And she's going to be like, yeah, well, I treated a couple of my friends, to live on the other side of the city. I heal for trade, man. If, I don't know why I keep saying man. I keep saying man because of Torka. She wouldn't say man, but she's like, I heal for trade, okay? So if you have anything to trade and you're hurt, you can come to me. I'll heal you up. And Torka's probably like, right on. Do you have anything else to trade? Because we're looking for some seeds. I see you got some plants over there. We're looking to buy some seeds and trade for, you know, anything like that. We're trying to get sustainable food. And does she have anything to trade? Yes. Okay. Does she have seeds? We'll call it unlikely. No. Okay. So she probably has healing stuff then. I mean, bandages, band-aids, pills, stuff like that. And Torka's probably like, okay, well, I don't really have anything to trade. Oh, but Aiden. Can I trade you my pack of gum for an arm sling for my dad? I'll call it likely that she'll say yes to that. Yeah, she's like, sure, little man. And she trades him the sling, and the guys are like, okay, well, it seems that you got this factory on lockdown then. It's good to know that you're here, Leticia. Sorry about reading your journal. And remember, if you need anything, we're right across the way. Okay. And the guys are going to turn around and leave. So that makes sense. There's no zombies on the inside there because she has cleaned them out. She's keeping the place together. That makes sense. I wonder what else is going on with her. Could be another NPC or something is like attached to her, you know? I really wanted to use it was an NPC idea for someone who's like scrawny and stuff and who's in and out of jail before the apocalypse. And I really kind of wanted that to be her dad, because then that could lead us to Jesse's and Aiden's dad later on. So hopefully the dice rolls might allow that to happen. That could be very cool. But the guys found a new traitor. They got a sword and a crossbow and no food. The guys are going to leave this area, go back out, go through the fence, go back out to the bus. I want to just make a survival roll with Torka to see if on the walk back he can find any like berries on trees or anything else like that. Nope. Well, maybe he's like teaching Aiden on the walk. He's like teaching him. He's like, here, Aiden, here's how you like, you know, you could find good berries to eat and stuff. And he's like teaching him how. They haven't found any good ones. But then maybe Aiden's like, what about these ones over here? Because he got a one. That's right. And Torka goes over and he's like, oh, yeah, man, these are just blackberries, man. Well, are they blackberries? Rule of eight question. I really want them to be blackberries, but that just seems too nice to me. Yes. Cool. He's got found a blackberry bush. So they're going to pick a bunch of blackberries off this blackberry bush and throw them in their bag, like pick the dang thing clean. And how many, I'm going to call it 1d12. How many rations of blackberries do they get off this thing?
It's a lot of blackberries.
Four. Nice. Okay. All right. Four rations of blackberries, which might be able to get us through the day, the night tonight. And they're going to go back to the backyard and back into the church. And when they get back there, I think that Cece's still working on the radio tower. She's almost done. It's going to take her a day to do this, right? So next time we come back, the radio tower is going to be done, which means we can roll some stuff on the radio tower. And also, when they get back there, Aiden's going to give the sling to his dad. They're going to put the blackberries down on like a table, the crossbow, the sword, and the binoculars. So that's what they got on their run. Not too bad. Not too bad at all. And we actually got to experience the whole run, so that's fun. And then Torka tells him about the person they found, Letitia. He couldn't convince her to come and stay with them, but she's less than a block away, and she has healing abilities, properties, skills. I played too many TTRPGs. And Jay's like,
okay, someone being that close could be a threat. Depends on who she's living with. They could also make noise and draw more walkers our way. So we gotta keep an eye on them. Aiden, good job today, man. Yeah, Torka told me that you did a really good job. You snuck real good. You searched things. And you're the one that found the blackberries.
Yeah. It was fun. And I think I did a good job. And, you know, and Jay turns to Torka and he's like,
I think it's nice for Aiden to feel needed and important. And this was really good. So thank you for doing such a good job.
Yeah, man. Whatever you need, you know? It's all good. And honestly, I wouldn't mind doing it again. Aiden did a great job.
He's like, all right. Like, well, let's eat some food. Let's start barricading up the front door. I've got an idea with a ladder that we might be able to do so we can sleep safe and sound tonight. And we'll back at it again tomorrow.
And each one of these guys is going to get experience for playing the day and surviving and doing well. That, my friends, is where we're going to end this sixth episode. Yeah, I don't know how long it was. I was just playing, so we'll see how it comes out in editing. I hope you did enjoy Torka and Aiden doing things in the world. I don't know who Letitia is. That's very curious. Do leave comments down below what you guys think might happen. And if you have any more ideas for anything, I feel like this is a good episode for me to get back into the groove of this system. So very good, very fun. All right. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thanks for joining me on this adventure that we get to tell together. And until next time, my friends, take a seat on the couch. Roll initiative. See you next time.